Football. Already caught the subtitle there. Yeah, so my message this morning is The Art of Waiting, Part 3, or subtitled Waiting for Randy to Finish This Series of Messages, you know. And Amen. Let's take a minute to pray. Father, just thank you for this morning. Thank you for your goodness, for your glory, for your presence. And Father, we just ask you to continue to abide with us, not only throughout this morning, but throughout this entire day and week. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank our worship team. Wow. Fred apologized for things ending a little later, and I didn't even know it was 11:30. I was like, wow, amazing. It's going to be even more amazing because my message is about 60 minutes long, so I hope. Just waiting. That's right, just waiting. So enjoy the wait. Enjoy the wait. Wow. All right. Well, we learned a few weeks ago. Actually, I think I did this first message last year. So last year we learned that waiting builds patience in our lives. Waiting transforms our character. Waiting builds intimacy and dependency upon God. And waiting builds anticipation. John Ortberg said this, basically, waiting is not just something we have to do until we get what we want. Waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. Can we say amen? Amen. Yes. And then the next message I delivered was waiting for the promise. This was in early January here. And 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 19, we read, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, did not become yes and no. On the contrary, a final yes has come in him. For every one of God's promises is what?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Or yes and amen, some scriptures say. Yes in him. And we went through a bunch of promises. I'm not going to go through all of them today, but and you can find all these messages online if you weren't here that Sunday, but let's go through a few of these together. Let's say them together. The Lord will never leave you or forsake you. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. If you remain in him and his words remain in you, whatever you ask will be given to you. And lastly, God will supply all of your needs in Christ Jesus." Yes. Amen. Oh, we got one more. I forgot I had another one. "If you draw near to God," what? "He will draw near to you." Amen. Amen. A couple weeks ago, Fred shared the message, "The Art of Becoming." And just to review some of the salient points from that message, are you dealing with the Esaus in your life? Are you resolving unreconciled relationships? Are you wrestling with God? Are you holding on to him while he wounds you, while he breaks you in order to bless you? Are you falling apart or falling forward? Are you walking with a limp? Is there a difference in your demeanor? And lastly, have you been wonderstruck? Are you with unveiled face beholding the glory and wonder of the Lord? Are you being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another? Fred also said this in his message, and I love these. It really got me thinking. We've all been created in the image of God. We believe that, right? Everyone in the world, 7 billion people today, we've all been created in the image of God. But however, we are now being changed into the likeness of God. I thought, wow, there's a difference, isn't there? We've all been created in his image, but how many of us want to be created into his likeness, to move into his likeness? That's something to ponder. Well, I couldn't do a message on waiting without that amazing verse from Isaiah, "Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Had to do that message, right? And for those of you that know me, you know I love eagles. We have this picture in our living room of a golden eagle by Charles Frasser. And I love the picture because it looks like a storm's coming and he's getting ready to launch and fly above the storm. We'll be talking about that this morning. But also I have some other tokens of my eagleness. I have a glass mug that I love to drink coffee out of a glass mug. Anybody else like that? It's a little fetish I have, but anyway, I like to do that. And my brother Bob Drosher gave me this years ago with this scripture on it. So every morning I drink my coffee out of this mug, and I think of Bob, and I think of this verse, and it's such a blessing. And actually, I usually have at least two cups of coffee, so it's filled more than once. Yeah, amen. No cream. That's right, black. Just that's the way God made it, right? I mean, if he wanted us to have cream and sugar, he'd put it in the coffee bean, right? So, I mean, you know, that's what I think anyway. So my wife Linda and our daughter Joy were taking art lessons from a woman in she actually lived in Clarksville. And she was doing an art show, and I went with Linda to visit the show. And we got in a conversation, and I was asking her if they had any pictures on eagles, and they didn't. So I began to tell her about my love for eagles and this passage from Isaiah. And I began to share the gospel with her. And it was a marvelous conversation. And out of that, unbeknownst to me until later, she painted this picture. And it's the eagle flying above the storm. And it's interesting, I just noticed this morning. I might have seen it when I first got it, but I certainly had forgotten about it. But she said, this is part of a series called Conversations. And it says, working title, Conversation with a Man of God. Whoa! That made me feel pretty good, you know? Maybe she meant it for somebody else. I don't know. Anyway. So then this beautiful piece of artwork here, if I can really lift it with one hand. This is an eagle that Stanford, Fred's brother, lived with us for a month, and a good friend of his did this, and Stanford gave it to us as a gift, so it sits proudly in our house. Isn't it beautiful? Yeah. So my life is full of many representations of eagles, and there are other ways in which we see eagles. Of course, our national seal is an eagle, right? How many of you know that Benjamin Franklin wanted to be a turkey? A wild turkey, yeah. I mean, come on, you know? Can you imagine if it's a wild turkey, we might be eating eagle for Thanksgiving? I mean, you know, that doesn't sound very appetizing, does it? You know, so it's not only our national seal, but become a symbol of freedom, America's freedoms. And of course, it's the symbol for the Eagles. Dave, where's Dave? Where'd Dave go? Okay, the Eagles. And, you know, I think you know that what the Falcons couldn't do 3 years ago and what the Rams couldn't do this year, the Eagles did last year. They beat the New England Patriots. that's right. And of course, if the Ravens had been playing, although they couldn't have played each other in the Super Bowl, but if they've been playing each other, we know there'd also been a different outcome, but be that as it may. All right. And then there's Eagle Scouts. Any Eagle Scouts in here? I know Dave Fritz, who just left as one, was an Eagle Scout. I was an Eagle Scout. We did our Eagle. We didn't know each other then. But anyway, so interesting thing. I'm going to go off on a tangent here for a second. But it just reminded me of they had this banquet for all the Eagle Scouts, all the young men that had earned Eagle Scout in the previous year. And our guest speaker got his autograph on the program. Was John Glenn. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah, it's John Glenn. So just talking about you, Dave, Eagle Scout here, Dave Fritz. So anyway, that's enough of that. So let's watch this video. This is really coming. Cool.
The bald-headed eagle.
The These eagles can dive at speeds of up to 100 miles an hour to do that. Isn't that amazing? 100 miles an hour. And I like salmon, and so do eagles. He caught a big one there, didn't he? Yeah, so another connecting point there. Well, there are a number of scriptures that speak to the eagle. And what I want us to see this morning is God's love for us, his grace and mercy, and his hand in our lives as depicted by the scriptures that speak of this majestic bird. The first is from Exodus 19:4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. This is God speaking to Moses, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Isn't that amazing? How I bore you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. We also read in Deuteronomy, this is from the Message, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. He was like an eagle hovering over its nest, overshadowing its young, and then spreading its wings, lifting them into the air, teaching them to fly. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Just all the imagery that creates. And the eagles will do that. Obviously, many eagles live in the desert, as the writers of the scripture would have seen them. And they'll take their wings and they'll spread them out to protect their young from the bright sunlight. They'll spread their wings to protect them from the hard rains when they come. And they'll protect them with these enormous wings that they have. There aren't any other birds that have wings quite like that, are there? I mean, they're just huge. Think about that. You know, they're just enormous in size. And we'll talk about that again a little later. I'll make reference to that. But they protect their young, overshadowing them with their wings, just as God wishes to do that for you and for me. In Psalms, we read, "Guard me as you would. Guard me as you would guard your own eyes. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." And there's even the possibility that when David was writing this, he might have been thinking of the cherubim in the Ark of the Covenant as the wings spread out over the mercy seat. And he's saying, "God, take me to your mercy seat. Take me to that place where you want to guard me and protect me." Yes, he wants to do that for us, doesn't he? He wants to lead us to his mercy seat. Even as Fred was saying this morning about the veil being rent, the veil has been rent. Yes, it has been torn. We now can come into the Holy of Holies. Isn't that amazing? That is absolutely amazing. I mean, all the years I've walked with God, that continues to just boggle my mind. You know, only the high priest could go in there. Only on special occasions, etc., etc. We know all the stories, but now you and I can enter anytime, any place. Wow. Absolutely amazing. Guard me as you would guard your own eyes, and hide me in the shadow of your wings. And I read this. This comes from the book, The Character Sketches. It speaks about the eagle. It says, "The continual enlarging of the nest may cause it to reach 20 feet in depth and 9.5 feet across. The result is that shelter is often provided for other birds, such as the Baltimore Oriole." Whoa! How about that, huh? Yeah. Isn't that amazing? So God, yes, God not only wants to bless us, he wants to bless the Oriole. No, God, God, they need help, yes, they do, they do, they need help. God not only wants to bless us, but he wants us to be a blessing. Yes, he wants us to provide for those in need, for those who need help, who need shelter, who need provision that they can't make for themselves. And just as the eagle does that, so God wants you and me to do the same. Another interesting aspect of eagles is that they have this amazing mating ritual where actually the female takes a stick and she carries it aloft with her and drops it and looks for the male eagle to grab the stick. Isn't that amazing? And I've read two different accounts. I've read one account that says each time she goes higher and higher, and I've read another account that each time she picks a heavier and heavier stick. I don't know which it is, but whatever way it is, it's out of that she figures out which guy she wants. How about that, huh? And then he'll stick with her. All right. Good one. Yeah. Very good. I like that. Then he'll stick with her. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. So, but what happens is they end up in this mating ritual where they lock talons and they go twirling downward through the air. Yeah. I'm going to show you a picture of that in just a minute, but a video, a short clip. And it reminded me of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians. This is the Amplified Version. But the one who is united and joined to the Lord is one with him, is one spirit with him. You know, in other words, God wants us to be united in him just as these eagles are united together and falling into one another's arms, wings, tongues, whatever. Look at this. Here it is.
Go, I go.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah, absolutely amazing. Think of how trusting they have to be of one another. And there are occasions where they actually hit the ground, but they usually don't die. They just kind of get stunned, you know, and they, you know, a little bit. Yeah, but just think of how trusting they must be with one another. And it reminds me of Proverbs where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways and he will guide you on the right paths. Trust, the Amplified Version, that first verse says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Trusting in him. Is that something we learn once and we've got it for the rest of our lives? No, no. We're always on a journey with him, learning to trust him more and more. And I was just sharing with Fred when we were together this last week. I just love it when I listen to the Lord. How about you, huh? So I had an occasion the week before. It was a Friday afternoon, and I had something that I needed to have completed by Monday. And I felt like, okay, I've got time Sunday, late afternoon. I can do it then, and I'll just wait. You know how your mind rationalizes and analyzes. And I kind of felt like that little voice from the Lord saying, yeah, you can, but you really ought to do it now. So I did. I did it that afternoon. Well, I had no idea what my Sunday was going to be like. It wasn't a bad day. It was a great day. But I had no time at all to complete this task. And when Monday morning came, I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can remember the first time I heard this passage about those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I was at the Naval Academy, and I just met the Lord that summer. So I'm new in the faith. This verse was new to me. I'd never heard it before. And we were scheduled to do the obstacle course, which is 600 yards of climbing over obstacles, over and under and all this. And you're timed, and you got to run it at a particular time or you don't pass. So I actually didn't mind the obstacle course. I didn't like the mile run. So we get out to the obstacle course, and they cut the cargo. Somebody cut the cargo nets that we were supposed to climb. So we couldn't do it. So the whoever's in charge, the PE teacher, whatever, he said, okay, let's all jog over to the field house, which is on the other side of the yard. Let's jog over to the field house and we'll run the mile today. And I'm like, I wasn't ready for this. And my roommate who knew the Lord said, Randy, there's a verse in Isaiah that says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. And I said, okay. And I just kept repeating that verse over and over and over again. And we ran it indoors in the field house. So it's like, it was at least 8 laps. It might have been more around this track. I mean, you get dizzy before you finish. You're going around and around and around indoor track. And I ran the best time I'd ever run. I passed and I ran the best time. I was like, thank you, Lord. So it really, that was the first time that verse really sunk in to my life. Yes. Trusting in the Lord. The psalmist writes, and this is the Passion Translation, you satisfy my every desire with good things. You've supercharged my life so that I soar again like a flying eagle in the sky. Yeah. Now look at those wings. They are enormous. An eagle cannot flap his wings for very long. If an eagle was flying like a sparrow or another small bird, flapping its wings continuously, it would tire out. The eagle has to soar. That's what God made the eagle for. He made the eagle to soar. And so they find these air currents in the desert, the hot air columns, and they find those and they just soar, hardly moving their wings at all. Soar and soar. Go ahead, Dave, you're saying? Like a buzzard, yeah. But we're talking about eagles now. Yeah, they just soar and soar and soar. Yeah, just like a buzzard. Buzzards are like that too. We had a season many years ago when our big 100-foot pine trees behind our house, they finally cut those things down. I'm so glad. They were full of buzzards. Buzzards will find a place and they'll just stay there for as long as you let them, basically. So they're just hanging out in this tree. So I'll never forget when my mom and her husband were visiting us and we're walking out of the house and Ed says, the buzzards are behind us back in the tree, and Ed goes, look alive, look alive. Yeah, they finally left. I was so grateful because, they make a mess and it's just, it's a little foreboding too. Oh my gosh, go hang out in somebody else's house, Well, back to that wonderful passage, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall not walk and not faint. The eagle, unlike any other bird in God's creation, when the storms come, birds tend to hide. They hide in the trees. They hide in the rocks. They hide wherever they can find shelter. But the eagle takes the storm and rides up above it. It can fly higher than any other animal in God's creation. It can see further than any other bird. It can way up there. It can see for miles, see a small object that you and I can never see. It's amazing the way God's created. And that's what I believe God wants for you and me. As we wait upon the Lord, He allows us to be lifted up high above the storms of life. And from that vantage point, we're able to view life, view the earth in a way that we can't in our earthbound existence. That's what He wants for you. That's what He wants for me. Waiting upon Him. I remember one of the first times this really came home to me in a big way. Big decision. Linda and I were in Jacksonville, Florida. I was in the Navy. And I was getting ready to go to my next duty station, and they have a guy called the detailer, and he writes your orders. So the way it works in the military, some of you know this, you've been in the military, is you make your request where you want to go, and they decide where they want to send you, you know, and it's based on the needs of the military and all that type of thing. And if they can match you with your request, that's great, but they don't guarantee that. In fact, I just had lunch with a man a few weeks ago who's a brother in the Lord who's a retired Navy Admiral, and he and his wife got orders back here to the D.C. area, which they'd hoped for, and they built their dream house, and 9 months later, they moved him somewhere else. Yeah, yeah. And they'll do that. General Colin Powell, his dream was to be the commander of the armed forces in Europe. He got that position. He was so excited, and the first Gulf War broke out, and President Bush said, you need to come back. We need your help. And he hadn't even moved his family over, and he had to come back to the States, you know. So that's the way the military is. So I'm calling my detailer. It's a summer of 1977. And I said, Reinhardt, I have you going to Corpus Christi, Texas. You're to be a flight instructor. I said, well, I don't want to go to Corpus Christi, Texas. Well, where do you want to go? Well, I'd like to go to the Washington, D.C. area. What do you want to do? I said, well, I'd like to be a recruiter. All right, call me back in a month. Now, a little backstory to this. I was finishing what they call your sea duty, and I was going to my shore duty. You can go anywhere where there's a Navy job and in the United States, even across around the world, really. But we'd prayed about it, Linda and I had. We'd fasted about it. We talked to the pastor of the church there. We talked to the pastor of the church up here. And with everything we knew and hearing the voice of God, we thought that this is where God wanted us to come, back to this area, to the D.C. area. But I couldn't go unless the Navy sent me. You know, the Navy could send me to Timbuktu, you know. So what did we do? We waited. We waited on the Lord. 1 week passed, 2 weeks passed, 3 weeks passed. 6 weeks later, this guy calls me. Reinhardt? Yes, sir. Still want to go to the Washington, D.C. area? Yes, sir. You still want to be a recruiter? Yes, sir. Well, a guy just happened to resign his position. If you want it, it's yours. Wow. Yeah, and the rest, as they say, is history. Waiting upon the Lord. Well, I want to share with you one more eagle. And this is fun. I really like this one. This is my favorite eagle. You guys ready? Okay, here we go. All right. Now, this is what they call a vertical takeoff with the afterburners on, F-15 Eagle. You ready? Isn't that, you want to see it again? All right, we'll watch it again. All right. That the weight to lift ratio is such that it's almost impossible for an airplane to fly straight up. But that plane has so much power that it can fly straight up and reach an altitude of several thousand feet in a matter of seconds. That's what God wants for you and me. He wants us to be like that plane. He wants us to take off with our afterburners and to soar high above the clouds, high above the circumstances of life, high above whatever's going on, good or bad, whatever it is. He wants us up there soaring and gaining his perspective. And as we do that, he does what? He renews our strength. See? Yeah. And that's in every way. We can think of it physically, but it's also emotionally, spiritually. In every way, he renews us, so that we're able to gain an altitude and perspective that nobody else has. Does it make any difference how old you are? Marguerite, our senior saint, God bless you. He wants you to soar, Marguerite. He wants you to soar above those clouds, higher than anybody else can soar. Yes, amen. And through the youngest, I was looking for some, all our young people went out of here. Anyway, they weren't supposed to do that. But anyway, so Vince just celebrated his 16th birthday. I thought he might be here this morning, Vince Tucci. He wants Vince to soar. He wants every one of you to soar like the eagle. He wouldn't have put those words in his word if he didn't, right? Yeah, he's saying to you and to me, if we wait on him, if we wait upon the Lord, He will renew our strength. And we will mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary. Bill. I did not ever pilot an F-15. I wish I could say I had, but I didn't. No. I'll answer those questions later. That's okay. Bill Johnson says it this way. Kingdom thinking knows that anything is possible at any time. It's activated when you and I, with tender hearts, surrender to the thought patterns of God. When we receive his imaginations and say, yes. We want our minds to be full of kingdom leaven, kingdom influence. We want miracles, and we want those miracles to have their full effect on us, changing the way we see and think. Amen. And as we wait upon the Lord, he grants us that perspective. Why don't you stand with me this morning, please? And Paul, if you want to come up, we'll do the benediction in a minute. Just speak in your own hearts to the Lord and just tell him how you want to wait upon him. Say, Lord, I want to wait upon you. I know you'll renew my strength. God, I know you'll give me renewed vision. I know you'll give me renewed understanding. Lord, help me to wait upon you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I had earlier in the service when Fred was talking about the veil being rent, I had an image of God using his laser precision to cut away cataracts and our eyes, and I didn't feel like the Lord was saying that so much naturally, although we would be happy to pray for anyone. But I know that when we have cataracts, it blurs your vision. You can have 20/20 vision, but it's blurred by the cataracts. And God wants to cut away that blur so that you see clearly, so that your vision is sharp like that of the eagles, where you can see clearly what he wants you to see and what he wants you to do. Thank you, Father. May that be true for each and every one of us. Amen. Amen. Paul.